I will begin with Mr. Jasinowski.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and again, congratulations to you on holding what is really a very important set of hearings, because I think that the pace at which the American and global economy and the technological apparatus associated was moving so fast that we must constantly reassess where we stand. I'd like to, first of all, associate myself with something at the end of what Congressman Walker said in his statement, which is that we can do it faster, cheaper, and better. I think that in the policy recommendations I make at the end of my testimony, Mr. Chairman, and I ask that all of my testimony be included in the record, I suggest that the real challenge for public policy is to emulate a lot of what we've been doing in manufacturing in the private sector. We've got to reduce our cost in government by about 20%, because that's how much manufacturing has reduced its cost in the last decade. We've got to move much faster and be responsive to customers in government. The product cycle in manufacturing has been reduced about 75% in the last decade. That's how much faster we are. And on the factory floor, everything now is really associated with speed. Having done both of those things, we have made a remarkable improvement in American product quality, so that we are now regarded as competitive around the world. And public policy ought to, in all cases, look at how it can be more conducive to making us competitive in this new global, highly technical information competitive age. And that's the bottom line of what I have to say. Now, to go back and just walk through a couple of things in my testimony, Mr. Chairman, I identify six big trends that are already in place and that will continue on through the rest of this decade. And those are that the United States has become highly integrated into a global economy. That, in the first instance, forced us to become more competitive. But more importantly, it's now becoming an export-generating machine that improves our opportunities for raising our standard of living and creates jobs. I cannot overstate the extent to which successful companies are competing from America in this global economy today. Secondly, the pace of competition is now more ferocious than any time in American economic history, partly because of that global competition, partly because of deregulation, and partly because of the extraordinary technological changes that have taken place in the information economy that allows us to do things so much more quickly. Three, there have been revolutionary changes in manufacturing that have led to a complete transformation of that sector. As I've bored you on occasion, Mr. Chairman, with the results of my new book, Making It in America, which documents that and many others, there has been truly a historical revolution where everything in manufacturing, from the way we make products to the way we structure our organization to the way we manage and pay workers, is gone through as big a change as we had in the first Industrial Revolution. And that has made us again competitive in the world economy, according to the World Economic Forum and many others, by measures that range from productivity to quality. And it has made the private sector a model for success for the economy. The third thing I want to stress beyond those changes, or the fourth, is that there's been a boom in capital investment, much of it in information and processing, and that has contributed to this extraordinary gain in American productivity. Fifth, workers are taking over the control of production in an environment requiring increasing skills and knowledge. If Marx were alive today, he would be absolutely befuddled by the extent to which the American worker is taking over the control of production in most manufacturing plants. In order to compete in leaner organizations, we simply have to turn it over to workers. And guess what? Workers with the proper education and training can do it better than somebody three or four levels higher. And in conjunction with that, we are now, through incentive systems and bonuses, compensating workers, not on a straight hourly basis, but on a new incentive basis. All of these changes have led to the final change, Mr. Chairman, which is the most important. We now can produce more with lower inflation than we could historically. Our economic potential is closer to 3% than the 2.5 that the Fed is using. And also, I believe the business cycle will be flatter, although we won't have the spectacular growth we've had in the past, because we now manage inventories properly and a variety of other changes that have taken place in this new economy, we are going to have less amplitude in the business cycle. If I could turn now to the policy implications of this, Mr. Chairman, I indicate that because of all of these changes, the key for government is to do everything it can to be more competitive in the global economy, and that means doing things faster, cheaper, and better, to come back to what I said before. In the first instance, there's a whole broad set of regulatory reform measures, including risk assessment and cost-benefit analysis, which I identify in the testimony, that are absolutely important to reduce the cost on the private sector so that we can compete. Secondly, we've got to reduce the budget deficit. We need to bring it down to a balance, because that siphons off resources that can go into savings and investment and can contribute to further productivity increases. Third, I think it's very important that monetary policy recognize that our potential for growing is greater than what has historically been the case, and not be foolish about expanding the monetary aggregates, but not be injudicious. The problem, Mr. Chairman, as we look toward the 21st century, will be deflation, not inflation, I assure you. With all the capacity to increase the supply in the global economy, the productivity changes here at home, you and I will be talking about deflation in the years ahead and not inflation. Finally, there ought to be a positive agenda for growth that runs from reforming the alternative minimum tax to making the R&D tax credit permanent to maintaining a promotion of exports in this global economy, and finding the right combination of activities between the government and the private sector to improve education and training. We in the private sector regard that as very important. I think that the federal government is not in a position to solve most of those problems. That's something for us in the private sector and state and local government. Mr. Chairman, that completes my testimony. Thank you very much for having me today.